the reviews are in, and we're going to tell you what they are. He's Todd Vandenberg. I'm Rob Steele. And we've got a couple, well, actually, we've only got one movie this week. The other one has got a TV series. But you know what? It's a cool TV series. I think. Is it a reboot? It's a reboot. Or is it a continuation? It could be a continuation.
It's a reboot, relaunch, as they describe it. That's the word I wanted. On IMDb, it is an updated version. It's an updated version of the classic TV series featuring various tales of science fiction, horror, and mystery. And it is not an update of The Outer Limits, because that was more heavily science fiction based. It's an update of The Twilight Zone. Yet another update of The Twilight Zone. But this one has the best hopes for success because Jordan Peele is the executive producer, the man behind it. And he has a couple of pretty good movies under his credit. So far, this first season is 10 episodes. It's on CBS All Access, which is unfortunate because it restricts the audience quite a bit. Because as Rob was talking about on Monday's show, CBS All Access is not one of the prime movers like Prime or Netflix or Hulu. But that's okay. There's still a lot of people who can get it. I renewed my prescription. Yes, it feels like a prescription. I think I need one. I renewed my subscription to CBS All Access solely so I could watch the new Twilight Zone series. So far, I can't say I'm disappointed, but I'm also not knocked out of the park. The first episode, it was good. Happily, the second episode is better. But the first episode I thought was just good. It's called The Comedian, and it's not a reboot, relaunch, remake of any of the original shows. It does take a similar take, of course, because it's the freaking Twilight Zone. So, of course, there's an odd thing going on because it's the point of the Twilight Zone. A comedian who has, basically, he's not really succeeding that well. He's just not that funny. He doesn't go with the universal things. He does a lot of political humor, and it's not that funny to begin with. And he sees a famous comic who is played by Tracy Morgan, and he gives him some advice. And he's like, just be yourself. But he tells him, be careful, because basically what you use, you lose. And he's thinking, he's just thinking, whatever. The comedian, played by Kumail Nanjiani, who is in The Big Sick. He's done a lot of stand-up, and The Big Sick is a phenomenally wonderful movie.
Yes, it is.
So he starts working in personal material. And oddly enough, the thing he talked about first, his dog, he goes home, his dog's not there. His girlfriend asks him what he's talking about. What dog? The dog never existed. So that's the plot line. If he talks about something and he has to talk about things more personal, because that's what gets the laughs, it's removed from existence. So before it was halfway through, I had a good idea of what was going to happen at the end. And unfortunately, that's what happened at the end. So it was a little too predictable. It's very well filmed. The actors are all really good. Tracy Morgan actually just acts instead of acting crazy like himself. And I kind of almost wish he had just been out of the wall nuts because he's hilarious. But it fit the role, so he did it exactly the way he needed to. Like I said, it's a little too predictable. That wasn't good. It was also 57 minutes long. And I think that was the biggest problem with this episode.
The original was just half-hour episodes, wasn't it?
Episodes, exactly. We're all half-hour episodes, except for season 4, which went to hour-long episodes, and they went back for season 5 to half-hour episodes because the hour-long episodes didn't work as well because they're just too drawn out.
That's a hint.
Some of them were really good, but overall, season 4 is the least successful of the Twilight Zone's original run. Happily, and again, this was a good episode. I'm not saying it wasn't worth watching. It was good. It fits in with kind of, okay, that's a Twilight Zone episode. I can totally see this being made back in the 60s with Rod Serling. Second episode did quite a bit better, partly because it's 37 minutes long. It's much more tightly written. Again, a really good episode. The nice thing about this is it's a remake of one of the original classics, except this time it's Nightmare at 30,000 Feet. William Shatner with the gremlin on the wing of the airplane. If you're listening to us, I'm sure you know the episode. They did a great job of changing this one up. It's still about a guy who's on an airplane who's freaking out, but there's no monster, no guy in a goofy, terrible suit dancing around on the wing of the plane. It's all plausible things which cause him to freak out. He's already suffering from anxiety, and he's on the plane, and he notices someone left behind an MP3 player, which is bizarre in itself because it's set like now. And there's a podcast on it. The only thing that's on it is a podcast about the mystery of Flight 2015, which happens to be the flight he's on. And he listens to it, and it's predicting what's going to happen. And of course, because it's the Twilight Zone, everything that it says on the podcast then happens. So he goes a little crazy, and he gets crazier. Things happen from there. It does have a couple of nice twists at the very end, which I didn't see coming, which is an improvement on the first episode. So again, I think that this is not going to hold up as a classic Twilight Zone episode, I don't think. But the thing is, I think it can eventually. I think this series will pan out that way, simply because Jordan Peele probably heard of Get Out, probably heard of Us, which to me, they're not horror films. They're Twilight Zone episodes in movie form. So this is exactly the right guy to do this. Carolyn Serling, Rod Serling's widow, she's one of the executive producers. I think that's brilliant. Glenn Morgan, who I know was involved with the original show in some capacity, I didn't look it up, but just recognized the name. He's one of the executive producers. So he has as many links to the original show as is possible. Peel also does the narration at the beginning of the episode, at the close of the episode. They stayed with the original music. I don't know if it's exactly the exact original music, but it's pretty damn close.
You can't get rid of that. If you get rid of that, it's not the Twilight Zone anymore.
But I mean, it's like note for note. For all I know, it's the original recording. I mean, it's done very, very well. The graphics are updated, of course, but similar, very similar with the doorway and the eye. The logo it's like backlit. But other than that, it's the same. I mean, it's so well done. And even though I only liked instead of loved the first episode, and I really liked the second, didn't love it, I think this is going to be a phenomenal success, because this guy, Jordan Peele, absolutely knows what he needs to do with this show. Again, I hope he doesn't do another hour long one. So maybe he doesn't absolutely know what he's doing with the show, but pretty damn close, and certainly close enough. I mean, this show is, I think, is going to be fantastic before the 10 episodes run is over, because there's a lot of promise from the first two, that's for sure. Highly recommend. Shell out the $5 and get CBS All Access, at least for this month. Oh, actually, yeah. I take that back, because you can't binge, because they're doing the same evil thing that they've done with all of their things. The next episode doesn't come out, actually. Came out last night, because you're listening to this Friday. So every Thursday, a new episode. So by the time you listen to this, there'll be a third episode out, and then one every week on Thursday.
So spend your $5 next month and get all 10 of them.
Yeah, it'll still take a while. But anyway, it'll be worth it. $15. I'm pretty sure the Twilight Zone alone will be worth it. Highly, highly recommended. And thank you, Mr. Peele. This is awesome stuff.
So you were going from, I suppose, wandering through, wandering dimensions?
Yes.
Good way of describing the Twilight Zone. To a foreign film that's just flat out called The Wandering Earth. I'll phrase it this way. It's based on the Hugo Award-winning novel by someone whose name I'm not even going to try to pronounce. Because it's in Chinese, and I don't know how to pronounce Man on Skis Next to House with Fir Tree. I don't know how that's pronounced. I'm sorry. I can tell you that the movie is directed by Frant Guo. And that is the closest I'm going to get to pronouncing anyone who is in this movie. I am apologizing ahead of time. I don't want to butcher anyone's name, including a lot of the characters. So bear with me on this one. Let's see, how to describe the plot of The Wandering Earth. Cockamamie comes to mind. So does implausible. But does that immediately make it a bad movie? In my mind, yeah, kind of. It did, because I went into it going, okay, just in the trailer and knowing what I do going into this, the physics of this movie is literally impossible. Here's your plot. The sun is dying. And I don't mean someone's kid. I mean that big yellow thing in the sky. So people all around the world finally put aside their differences. It's about damn time, by the way. And build giant planet-sized thrusters and attach them to the Earth. Some of them to stop it from spinning. Some of it to just move the Earth to Alpha Centauri. Oh, dear. It's going to take 2,500 years to make the journey. Is it really now? There's a lot of math that gets thrown at you in this of, here's how long it does this and that and the other, and it's called the Wandering Earth Project. Okay, fine. But no. Everyone no longer lives on the Earth. They live in underground cities because, well, you know, the atmosphere would get ripped off if they even thought about trying to do something like this. But it doesn't. Somehow the atmosphere stays with us, even though we stopped the Earth from spinning. How clever is that? But, you know, that's fine. It's science fiction. Let's have a go with it. There's still people who work on the surface of the Earth, which is not, for some reason, at absolute zero, which it, you know, should be because the atmosphere is... Oh, that's right. The atmosphere still, it shouldn't be there. We're moving farther away from the sun. It should be really damn cold outside. And yes, some characters do freeze to death. So there's your one physics thing. Gravity doesn't quite work the same way it used to. Basically, the whole movie is one massive disaster after another. The Wandering Earth Project doesn't quite... I mean, we don't follow it from beginning to end. We follow it from where the Earth is now to when it accidentally gets caught in Jupiter's gravity. And that's what most of this movie is about, is how they escape the gravity of Jupiter.
So this is really, really early in the project.
This is still really early in, and...
Sounds like it's possibly, assuming they don't all die.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who do die in this.
I would think so.
There's one guy who ended up shooting out they had to be on the surface at the top of a skyscraper, and they had to break out a window so they could go across the ice to make it from point A to point B. So they're 75 floors up in this building, which is where the ice has gotten to. And he takes a minigun, you know, the big Gatling gun thing. Empties the whole thing to take out a window because there's that much ice on it. And by the end of it, he's basically, ooh, let me climb out of these shells that are all over the floor because that's how much ammo I use to get through. Maybe, but that's one of, I think, three times a gun was shot in this movie and none of them was to shoot somebody else. That's although I wanted to shoot some of the other people in this movie. Wow. There is, it's a constant stream of this disaster is happening. Oh, wait, there's another minor one. We're going to get through the other minor one. And look, yet another disaster. Okay, we'll start over here, get through this disaster. And oh, look, another one. Rinse, lather, repeat. That's what this movie is. Now, I'm making it sound to be kind of horrible and boring. I will give it this. If you ignore the physics of this movie, it's not bad.
There's a lot of physics to ignore, such as stopping the rotation of the Earth.
There's a lot of physics to ignore.
Not be the first thing I would do, but it would be the last thing, because you wouldn't be doing anything after that.
It's actually rather well acted. It's got good special effects, good cinematography. The concept of how they eventually decide to get rid of or get out of Jupiter's gravity. There's another physics thing that you can ignore. For the sake of enjoying the movie, they made it look pretty. I'm not going to tell you what it is. They made it look pretty, but it would not work.
I'll throw in a couple things. It's the second biggest grossing global movie of the year so far. It's almost 700 million. It was released in the US, very limited release. I'm surprised it got a release at all. So that's kind of cool. Netflix has bought the rights to it. So it's going to show up on Netflix sometime. They haven't announced when because they'll probably just pop it up.
Oh, it's still in theaters. I mean, it just came out in February.
February. February. And apparently had a budget of $50 million. So they got a pretty good return on this.
It actually looks more. It looks like it's just as good as, the last couple Star Trek movies where they spent the billions of dollars on special effects and stuff. The special effects in this are really, really good. I just can't pronounce any of the actors' names because they're all Chinese in caricatures, except the one Russian guy whose name is in Russian, and I can't read that either. So
it is the second highest grossing film in Chinese history also. I've been looking forward to this since I first heard about it several weeks ago. So very, very cool. And I will definitely try to find it.
I think it's worth a watch. I don't know. It's not going to be, it's the best movie that came out this year. No, it's not. It's going to be a kind of, it'll be a fun disaster movie to watch. Cause, I don't know that you really get attached enough to any character to go, oh no, Bob died. Darn. I'm so depressed. You know, when characters die in this, you're kind of like, oh, well, lost another one. You know? Oh, darn. We'll stop at Walmart and pick up another character on the way. It's that kind of a thing. I don't know that I got, you know, really invested in any of the characters in this movie. Even the main teenager characters they stole a truck at the beginning of the film, and that's how the whole thing got started for them. No, stealing a truck is not how they got caught in Jupiter's gravity. It just happened to be at the same time. Oh, look, a coincidence. It's Jupiter's gravity had a fluctuation. Really? That's unfortunate. it's worth seeing. When it comes on Netflix, watch it. It'll be...
Yeah, I don't hold out much hope for the Wandering Earth Project, considering they couldn't even get halfway out of the solar system without major issues. So,
well, I mean, you know, the surface of the planet is frozen, so it gives new definition to the term Netflix and chill. How's that? Is that a good ending for the show? I think it'll do. So tune in on Monday when we have more movie news for you. Until then, get out and go see a movie.
That's pretty much it.